the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Man, oh man, oh man. Kicking back hard against that cold that I had yesterday. I actually think it broke a little bit for me yesterday evening. Still got some runny nose and some hacking, but I slept all day yesterday. As soon as the show was over, I went up and I slept till about, I don't know, had to be close till noon. I got up and went into town and did some things in town, came back and was up, went to sleep again, slept all afternoon. Feeling a little bit better today, and just reminds me of how much I appreciate those of you out there who are members of my cult. I want you to know it more than ever. The people, I was just thinking today, you guys don't even know Victor. Victor sent me, not sent me, but got me on this spray that's silver. I've had people send me, I cannot believe how much some of you watching this program right now, you good cult members, how much you blindly and faithfully and selfishly serve the Lord through what it is that we're doing here. Think of all the things Dale's does. Lowell drove us to Washington, D.C. just to be part of it. George is constantly encouraging me, sending me stuff. Roger. Oh, who am I going to forget? Ray LeBlanc. I could just go on and on and on and on and on with people who faithfully serve what it is that we're trying to do here. And I just felt like it's time, you know, I needed to say it. And now I've forgotten a whole bunch of it. I know that. And now you're going to be mad and say, God, I did this for him and he didn't. Those are just folks that have just popped to I know right now that some of you guys in this queue are better friends to me than friends I've had my whole life. I have friends that I have Christian friends who I've had my whole life. David Arthur, there's another one, David. Christian friends I've had my whole life who are fighting against me. I'm just telling them how it is. And you know, Scripture tells us this, and I can't remember where it is, but a fool judges before he knows all the facts. And I have a lot of people who are, I've had relationships with and fellowships who are judging. They don't even have any idea what's going on. It grieves me, but I'm trying to move beyond that, and I'm trying to move to those out there who are just serving beyond serving. And I want you to know how much I appreciate. Chad Estes, here's another. Sorry, Chad, don't get mad at me. I could run down the list of people over here. Every one of you. Every one of Mike Spaulding. Thank you, Mike Spaulding. Thanks for all you do. George Lewis, Jared, and Lindell, and Roger Weaver, and Steve Minking. You know, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And I just want you to know that for every naysayer, there's a yaysayer. And I appreciate the yaysayers. And to think that, I'm not getting off on a bad move today. I want you to know, guys, how much I appreciate you. Okay, I was showing them some pictures yesterday, trying to get my newsletter together, and I don't know how much time Victor spent getting some pictures to me from our event. Rob Pugh, there's another one. Mark Trump, Jim Kraft. These are friends who sticketh closer than a brother. I know this right now. Jim Kraft will never undermine me, ever. He never will. And I know that George Lewis will never undermine me. He may disagree with me, but he's not going to go around and start mentioning things about this being a cult and all this kind. He'll never do that. And I got friends who are. What's that, honey? Larry, My wife, Larry, said, don't forget Larry. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Michelle.
Michelle, understand, guys, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You understand what's going on? And but why is it the people on the – see, anything that begins to make a difference, the establishment wants to point fingers at and say that's cult-like. That's cult-like. Well, they have their own cults. Dare I say that? Don't most churches follow a leader? Don't most churches do that? Do they get accused of being a cult? No, they don't get accused of it. Anyway, God bless all you guys. Oh, how many I've forgotten and are now mad at me.
Amen, Coach.
Give me grace. Serge! Say Serge! Yes, Serge! Serge! Robert! Robert Sellers. Thank you, Robert. Serge! Michael Andrews! I don't know what's happened to Michael Andrews. Michael! Thank you, Michael! On and on and on.
All right, Dave.
Yeah.
Chad here.
Yeah, Chad.
Well, thank you for stepping up and providing this platform for all of us to join together with one another. Because really that's what makes it.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Really what makes it brings us together, okay? So and also I just wanted to say that we'll be having our August date. I'm going to announce my August date for the Texas Brigade meeting on August 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Is that a cult, Chad? Is that a cult?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guns and everything.
All right. What's that date again, Chad?
Okay. That's the first weekend of August, which is the August 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
We'd cool.
Love to have good turnout on that.
Hey, Jared, I just got a text. Let me in. Somebody just said, let me in. I don't know if they're trying to get into the show, Jared. So I don't know what it maybe they're not. I just got that. So anyway, God bless all you guys. God bless all of you. And those see, here's what the criticism always comes from those who don't understand. The fool answers a subject before he knows the facts. And then, oh, well, I'll let it lay at that.
Well, how come they're not saying that Joel Osteen's church is a cult?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. And can I be truthful here? Hey, David Hawkins, there's another one. Hey, Jim Kraft, I saw you just logged in. Thanks, man. Jim, thanks for being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want you to know how much I appreciate that. Because I have brothers that don't stick closer than a friend. Truth to be told. And I listen.
Trump.
Good news. Dale Socha, I said you, didn't I, Dale? I said you.
You don't got to say my name, Mark Trump. I was trying to say somebody else's.
Mark Trump. I said Mark Trump.
Sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Listen, here's the good news. The left is losing. That to be no doubt about it. The left is losing. And you know why the left is losing? The left is losing because the right, whatever that means, we're beginning to attack. And we're beginning to attack because Donald Trump has made it okay to attack. He's made it okay to attack. And so we're seeing more and more as he attacks, as he fights back, as he breaks out of the box that the politically correct political system likes to put people in. I don't know what's going to happen from here, but I'm going to tell you this. The American government is never going to be the same after Donald Trump. If they shoot him tomorrow, it's never going to be the same.
Amen. Now,
there's a lot that's been exposed, right? There's a lot that's been exposed. The Supreme Court, Donald Trump is going to name another conservative to the Supreme Court. I hate that word conservative. I'm going to bear with me a second. If Hillary Clinton had been elected, do you know where we would be? Have any idea where we would be if she had been elected?
Here's what I know. Be on fire, brother.
Here's what I know about Donald Trump. Donald Trump gets even with his enemies. You say, well, that's not very Christian. Well, that's the way you fight in the world. That's the way you fight in the world. Yes, Jared.
I just me and Vince were talking about it this morning. I just started reading the Emperor's book himself, The Art of the Deal, and he's going to be the best president we've ever had, I think. You start reading the book, it shows you exactly how he thinks. And how he thinks is, I just, look, you aren't doing it right, you're stupid. And this guy's been getting sued for 30 years. nonstop. Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Well, so he's showing us how to do it, right? He's showing Christians how to fight. And you know what? They still don't like him. So some people who are never Trumpers, they cannot admit how much the government has been rescued in the last 500 and some days. They still won't admit. It's just pride and prideful. And I want to point three things out here. Number one, he's winning every day at the Supreme Court. He's winning them all. Winning them all. I was a public employee. I was a teachers union member. And the Supreme Court just ruled yesterday, was it yesterday or 2 days ago, that public employee union members no longer have to pay fair share. They no longer have to do that, which I've been screaming for years. I didn't want to be part of the teachers union. I wanted nothing to do with the liberal teachers union, the NEA that gave all their money to the Democratic Party. I didn't want anything to do with it. And they told me I had to be a member of it, even though I didn't want to be a member of it. I had to be one, and I had to pay my fair share. And my fair share went to the OEA and the NEA, and the money went to the Democratic Party. I was fighting my own self, saying I didn't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And the Supreme Court ruled 5-4, you don't have to do that anymore. And it will cause such a tremendous cataclysm in the Democratic Party, because that's where their funding comes from. And I'm in a car yesterday with my brother, the Union Democrat, love him to death. And first thing he says to me, he says, well, Trump screwed the unions. Oh, boy, he wishes he hadn't said that. I can tell you that. No, Trump didn't screw the unions. He freed the God-fearing man. That's what he did.
Because the union's been screwing them, Coach.
They don't even know. Not even smart enough to understand they've been getting screwed by the unions. So that was something. And then he comes down with the victory in the – anyway, he's winning everywhere he goes. He's winning everywhere. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You better get ready, because the left is going to go nuttier and nuttier and nuttier. Why are they going to go nuttier? Because the Supreme Court has been theirs. Every major moral offensive has been won at the Supreme Court. They figured it out before we figured it out. And now they understand, hey, old Ruth Buzzy, like, did you see this? Trump tweeted about what's her name? That old hag.
Ruth Nader Ginsburg.
Ruth Nader Ginsburg. He said, what does she weigh, 60 pounds? She's 85 years old. She weighs 60 pounds, and she's making decisions for the American people. Are you kidding me? See, we're getting it. We're getting it. Now, here's what else. Here's why else a lot of never Trump. I had this conversation with Mark Harrington yesterday. I got to get Mark on the show. I don't know if he'll get up this early.
Hey, Coach, before you chime into that, you know what I call Ruth Nader Ginsburg? I call her the Weekend at Bernie's. They just keep propping her up. I think she's dead.
I think she might. She ought to be. She's certainly spiritually, morally dead. But Mark Harrington and I came to this conclusion. You know why a lot of people don't support Trump? Are you sitting down? Because it doesn't fit their theology. See, they think we're supposed to lose so Jesus can return. And if things are getting better, then that means maybe Jesus is, something's wrong here. How can things get better? We're doomed. Can't you see we're doomed?
Amen, Coach.
No, I don't know. I don't know when the end's coming. I don't know either. But if you think the end is coming as we're losing, you don't know the Lord.
Yeah, Coach. That's Scotia Bible crap. That's the Scotia Bible crap. Bro.
Yes, it is. It's Schofield Bible crap. It is. And so for the sake of my children and my grandchildren, I want things to get better. I look around and things are getting worse. I want them to get better. And the reason they aren't getting better is because we've stopped being the salt of the earth. We've stopped being the salt of the earth. That's why things are decaying. And I'm dumb enough to believe that if the salt can somehow get salty again, there's still a chance. But the average church doesn't believe that. They don't want to be salt. 7% of Oklahomians voted for a man who said he would end abortion. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn.
Amen.
It's not the left that's winning. It's the right that's losing. We lose.
Amen.
We lose. They don't win. We're starting to win. We're starting to win. It makes them nervous. Hey, Jared, let's get to this. Let's get down to it. Got to show you a real quick video. Unbelievable. Let's go to Mark Harrington there, Jared. Want you guys?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, while you're on Dan Fisher, you want me to tell you something that's almost kind of comical? So they don't vote for Dan Fisher, but they come out in droves to vote for marijuana, right?
That's right.
So my wife just popped in this morning and she said, hey, did you realize that it's a federal law that if you possess marijuana, you can't own a gun? So these idiots that voted for this, now they can't own a gun. So the pro-gunners that do marijuana can't legally own a gun.
Well, George, it's even, I get it, man. I know how stupid we are. I understand how stupid we are, right? But we have more people for marijuana than for life. We have more people focused on marijuana than life.
Right.
You're kidding me. Now, look, I'm going to play this quick video. I don't know if we'll watch it all. For those of you who – my glasses are steaming up here today. For those of you who joined us last weekend for all hands on deck, we were standing at this abortion clinic, 1243 East Broad Street in Columbus, Ohio. This is the Founders Abortion Clinic. You guys all saw the videos, saw what we were doing there. Founders announced yesterday, 2 days ago, they're closing.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Praise the Lord.
Now, we don't know why. We don't know why they were closing. But for those of you who came in, who were part of our cult, who came in from all across America and were there, you saw the panic that was going on at that abortion clinic. And see, we have to know when to strategically hit. Now, maybe we didn't know when to strategically hit, but the Lord knew when to strategically hit. And he knew something was going on with that clinic. Now, they had not been, this clearly was not a long-range decision. Mark Harrington could tell us more about this. They want to try to reopen someplace else. And Mark and his crew is working, leafleting the neighborhood, doing everything they can to keep this thing from reopening someplace else. And they're going to be successful at it. But when we showed up, you better hear me, our cult showed up at a very vulnerable time inside that clinic that we on the outside didn't know. And something... You ever hear somebody say that was the straw that broke the camel's back? Well, boys, I'm here to tell you that was the straw that broke the camel's back when we showed up outside. I'm convinced. Because a week later, the announcement comes, they were closing, and it was not a long-term planned out deal. This clinic has been operating for 43 years. The first abortion in the city of Columbus took place at Founders Clinic. The first one, 43 years ago. That's why they had the name Founders. They were the first one. They've been in this location for 27 years. I believe my numbers could be wrong. 27 years. When abortion was first legalized, abortion rose to 7 abortion clinics in the city of Columbus. 7 murder mills in the city of Columbus. You know how many there are now?
One.
And that is Planned Parenthood that is one stroke of the pen away from going out of business themselves. If Donald Trump, the church would arise and get Donald Trump to pull the funding. Now, here's what happens, see. It's been the faithfulness of men and women of God, God-fearing people who love life, who faithfully for 43 years chopped away at that mountain, believing that that mountain would be removed and would be cast into the sea. It wasn't people sitting in the churches and praying about it. Oh, that might have helped, but that wasn't what it was. It was the everyday faithfulness of men and women of Christ standing out on the front of this thing and pleading with Almighty God to shut that thing down.
Amen, Coach.
It's an amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I figured they'd have to dynamite this place out of it. Now, we don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you something. We're going to dance on their grave. We're going to dance on their grave. We're going to celebrate that despite what your eschatology might tell you, we're going to win. Or you can believe we're going to lose if you want to. But we're going to win. Hang on a second. I'm going to read some things under here. Mark Harrington put this out. You ready? Listen to this. Jared, maybe you can scroll to the bottom. I don't know if you can or not. It doesn't matter. Of the email. to the bottom of the email. It doesn't matter. I got it here, Jared. Because I want you to listen. By the way, Mark Harrington's not calling us a cult. Mark Harrington's standing with us. I had a great conversation with him yesterday. He said, go, man. You guys go. You guys go. So his founders, he says, has a sordid past. Here you are. First and foremost, this abortion company has murdered children for decades, causing the death of thousands of innocent preborn children. This place right here. Did you know that they have tax liens against them? Founders Women's Health Center owes over $1 million in taxes to the city of Columbus, the state of Ohio, and to the federal government. Did you know that this death pit has a revoked hospital agreement? You can't have an abortion clinic if you don't have an agreement with a hospital where if a woman gets in danger, you can transport her to. They have no hospital agreement. Grant Hospital revoked their transfer agreement with the abortion clinic. They have an uninsured abortionist. Maine abortionist has no medical malpractice insurance. They have overdue fines. They owe the Department of Health $40,000 in fines. This place right here that's closing down. Now, this is not my opinion. This is a report that Mark Harrington is, as far as we know, this is factually accurate. It injures women. One abortionist perforated the uterus of a mother with a non-uterine pregnancy, leaving her sterile. That's at least one that we know of. Did you know this? It's employed a known child sex offender. Dr. Thomas Michaelis' medical license was revoked after he pled guilty to sexual imposition. While employed by Founders Women's Health Center, Michaelis was indicted by the U.S. attorney on federal child pornography charges. You know what Mark Harrington told me? It's great, man. It's great. People who will murder babies, they will do anything. And the darkness of this place, and the depth of the darkness of this place is so deep that we can't even believe it. And what happened?
Thank you, Lord.
That sucker is closed down, baby.
Thank you, Lord.
That sucker is closed down. Jared, play Mark's video.
Mark Harrington here, coming to you from 1243 East Broad Street in Columbus, Ohio. And you might wonder why I'm standing in front of this building today. Well, this is Founders Women's Health Center, 1243 East Broad. This place here has been in existence since 1973, killing babies here in the Columbus area for now 45 years. And the good news is, folks, we announced today, breaking news, that this building that has been killing, this location that's been killing babies for 45 years is closed, done, finished, no longer killing children inside this building. And for that, we celebrate. For that, we're happy. For that, we look at the work that we've done here in the past, and the fact of the matter is these folks are closing down. Founders Abortion Mill, the first abortion company in the entire state of Ohio, started killing in 1973, is shutting down at this location. Now, they started killing here in the 1990s, but they've been around for 45 years. So this is huge news, folks. We are now down to one abortion center in the city of Columbus, a city of 2 million residents. 2 million residents, one abortion mill. When I started doing this almost 20 years ago, there were 7 abortion mills in this city. We're down to one. Now, we're not certain what's going on exactly with this abortion company. Whether they're shutting down for good, whether they're relocating, we're trying to gather information regarding that. But for now, what we do know is this place right here will no longer be a site where children will be dismembered, decapitated, and disemboweled. For that, we rejoice. For that, I tell all my friends, all the activists that have worked outside of this abortion mill in prayer, in sidewalk counseling, in picketing, in protesting, for 45 years, that this place is shutting down. In fact, today, you don't see anybody going in. There's a good reason for that, because they're closed. Folks, they're closed. 1243 East Broad. This location is no longer killing babies. The
Cut
first abortion center.
I don't want to give. We'll make this available for you to watch. This you got to watch. You got to watch this. I just don't want to take all this up. Listen. When I was coaching football, I always told our guys it's all about momentum. It's all about momentum. When you score, you go for a turnover so you can score again. We have a great, great victory right here. A great victory right here. And we can't sit back, go back on the bench and get a bottle of water and sit back and rest on our laurel. We have got the enemy on. Folks, if you cannot see that we have the enemy on the run, but let me warn you, they are getting ready to go bonkers. They're going bonkers now because Justice Kennedy resigned. And they know what's coming next. And I'm going to tell you this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is going to resign because she ain't going to want to be on the losing side. If she realizes that she's just going to spend the rest of her time writing opinions in the minority, if you think why that's why she's sitting in there at 81 years old so she can write minority opinions, she ain't going to be able to hang around much longer. And I'll tell you who's right next behind her. Is Stephen Breyer is right next behind her. And who knows what's next behind her? Because it ain't no fun playing on the losing team. Now, here is what we have got to be very, very careful of. And we spoke about it the other day. Courts do not make law. And the last thing we want to do is say, okay, great, we've got the Supreme Court. Now we're going to start winning. Well, I'm glad we are, but you better understand courts don't make law. And we have got to rein the government back in. For instance, we had a decision came down yesterday. Crazy decision comes down yesterday regarding internet tax, whether they can charge internet tax. And you ought to see the conglomerate of the yes votes. It was 5-4. Sotomayor and Kagan voted with Roberts and Gorsuch. And I mean, it is unbelievable. 5-4 saying what? Online purchases now can charge internet tax. Except there's one problem. The power of taxation is in the Congress. It's in the Congress. If they want to charge internet tax, Congress has to pass a law, not the courts. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't fall back into that same trap. All we are doing here is taking a weapon away from the left. We don't want to use that weapon. We want to return to constitutional government. Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, this whole thing is ridiculous. First of all, do you understand how hard it is for people to take heed of 50 states worth of laws? It's ridiculous. So what is they don't charge the tax on stock transactions. So why are they going to do it to private people? They have lawyers that can address that. What are we going to do? That's ridiculous. It's absolutely
Here's the point Vince is making. Anybody that's selling anything online, they're now going to have to set up in their system how they track where that person's state is, what the tax is in that state. And for the average guy selling stuff on the internet, it's going to drive internet businesses, some small internet businesses out of business again. And see, they don't have the power. The Supreme Court doesn't have the power to do this. They should strike down the law and then say, okay, states, make your own laws. That's not what they do. See, they tell us it's now the law of the land. Do you guys see the difference?
It's much worse than having to keep track of 50 states. Within each state, there are counties, and within some counties, there are cities that have their own individual sales taxes. It is going to be a nightmare.
And why is it a nightmare? Because it's not in or under their authority to rule that. You get it? We got to stop this, man. We got to stop it. Go ahead, Jaron.
Other side of it, too. If it can cause a big enough headache to the giant companies, it'll just make everything local, which is that a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing, Jared, except I believe in free enterprise. And I believe if I got a good product here in Hebron, Ohio, I ought to be able to sell it to you in Maine. I think it's free enterprise. That's what I think. And the idea of our tax system anyway is crazy, man. It's crazy. That's, by the way, that's what our founders revolted over. I don't want to get buried on this. I got some other stuff I want to talk about. But understand that the whole premise, see, it's like this. We're going to say, oh, it's like, I don't know if you guys knew this. When we were at the Supreme Court and all those crybabies were crying that they were losing, I yelled at them, hey, you guys love the Supreme Court when they vote your way, don't you? See, so we can't get caught in that. We want constitutional government, not legislation by judges. We don't want legislation by judges. Some of these guys still don't get it. Do you understand that Sotomayor, the left, you understand the left is anti-constitution. They couldn't care less about the Constitution. They couldn't. So now we've got 4.5. Who knows? You know, Kennedy would go, he on the moral issues, Kennedy was on the other side. And so now we're going to bring in a fifth guy who believes in constitutional government. That's what we want. As Robert Bork said, no, it wasn't Robert Bork. As Judge Scalia said in the decision regarding Obergefell, he says, well, now we've got four lawyers acting as justices on the Supreme Court. And that's really what we have. So all we're trying to do is reclaim the Supreme Court to reclaim the Constitution, not to have the Supreme Court on our side to start now battering, legislating from the bench on our behalf. We don't want that. We want constitutional government. Cool? Okay, I got Jared, go to the one that says great video. I want you guys to see this. This is powerful. This is powerful. To people out there who laugh and make fun of a tinfoil hat. They joke to their friends. You don't, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't. Let me see it. Maybe I did. I'm gonna forward it to you right now. Who make fun of see, listen. When I go to Hear the Watchman, when we host our conference in Occupy, it's not tinfoil hat stuff. It's not tinfoil hat stuff. You know who comes to our conferences? People whose eyes are open. People who understand and see what's going on in the world, and their pastor has got no clue. Not only does their pastor have no clue, he don't want to have a clue. He don't want to have a clue. So they're out seeking truth. They're looking for a deeper truth. They understand something's going on. Does the average pastor have any idea what's going on with artificial intelligence? Any idea at all? Any idea? Is it sex trafficking? We know sex trafficking's gone on. We all know sex trafficking's gone on. How many of our pastors know? Well, my goodness, not only is it going on, it's satanically, ritually abused kids, SRAs. Stuff the Russ Dizdar talks about all the time. Do our pastors know that? No, they don't know that. They don't want to know that because it doesn't fit the religious box.
No, so they just want
to. Well, it's tinfoil hat.
No,
Coach better put on his tinfoil hat today. It's unbelievable.
No, Coach, they come out and they say, I'm just called to preach the gospel. And yeah, I said, then why do you have potluck dinners? Why do you have these kind of events? Why do you have all this other stuff? That's not preaching the gospel. It only when it fits their criteria.
And Dale, all we're doing is showing them the multifaceted weapons and techniques that the devil is using. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing.
Yep.
And again, we're being judged by people who've never stuck their toe in the water, don't want to look in the water, and don't want anybody else to look down in the water because they know. They know it all. So here, this is a powerful. I want you to watch this. Now, do you know that every time we go to these things, every time we go to Hear the Watchman or we go to Occupy Till I Come, do you know we baptize people? Do you know that? Do you know that a recent event in Canton, we baptized 35, 40 people? Do you know that? How many are you baptizing in your church? When's the last time you saw a baptism in your church? Last time. Tinfoil hats. Doctrines of demons. Yeah, really? Really? Doctrines of demons, tinfoil hats? We're baptizing people. We go to Hear the Watchman, we'll baptize 100 people. How many are you baptizing? How many people sitting in your church are deeply committed to Christ so much so that when the opportunity to become baptized comes, they come and get baptized? Hey, when's the last time you saw baptism in your local church? Jared, go ahead and play this. This is Long Island, New York, Lifting the Veil.
I hope that by the time I'm finished, you are so in love with him, or you are under such conviction that you run down here and wet this platform with your tears. And you wet it with tears until you get through all of the complications and all the cares and distresses and anything and everything that has hold on you. Leave it here tonight. Don't take it up those steps, all right? I want those steps to be like climbing a ladder to heaven. Amen. That you go back up out of here with a new song in your heart and a new step and a spring in your step. That if your step doesn't have a spring, that you get one. Amen. That your bones are hurting and you just can't work them very good. That you are able to run up those steps. Amen. What did David say in Psalms? By my God, have I run through the troop and I've leaped over the wall. Hallelujah.
So we have Midbar and Arabah. So Midbar is the place where God speaks to us, what we call the sanctification process, where God delivers his word, Davar, Daber. And the Midbar, the desert, is a place we have to go through. That's why John the Baptist said, a voice is crying out in the Midbar, in the wilderness, prepare the way in the desert, in the Arabah, because the only way you can go through the desert is if you receive the manna from God.
We're watching in our media, we're watching in so many different ways, you know, the surface of things going on, but we're not seeing everything that's going on down below. We're going to need greater strength. We're going to need to understand where our weaknesses were, where our fears have been, where those besetting sins have been. We've got to understand the hour in which we stand in Dallas this night. It's an astounding divine appointment. This is the place in which every one of our lives can be absolutely altered until we see the face of the King, until we stand in glorified, immortal bodies, until we look in the face of God and he reaches out his hand and he wipes away the tears of the past order. And he embraces us. No more dying, no more pain, no more raping, no more human trafficking, no more drugs, no more deep state. No more a lot of things. So tonight as we gather together, we've got to have just a sense of yieldedness openness to the Spirit of God, to the hand of God, and broadness in every single way.
There you are, man. There you are. So for those of you who think it's tinfoil hat stuff, I don't even know what to tell you. I proudly wear mine.
They just need to wake up, brother. This is the truth.
Well, it is the truth. It is. Listen, it's just stuck in my craw. It just sticks in my craw. Okay? It just all sticks in my craw. Okay, so look. Let's do this. Jared, let's go to, boy, I got four things I want to get on. Hey, Jared, this is awesome. Let's go to the On Top report. Hey, I'm going to take this off because this ain't tinfoil hat, okay? This is real. I use a tinfoil hat as a joke, and some of you take it serious. On Top report. Got that for us, Jared? I mean, I got to find you again, man. There it is. Hey, guys, what On Top magazine? Hey, David, any idea what does On Top magazine mean, David? On Top.
On Top. There's either in a homosexual relation, there is only a top or a bottom. Well, there's three. There's a top, a bottom, and a versatile, which plays top or bottom. But On Top means on top, on the back of another man.
on top, on Top magazine, on anniversary of a Obergefell marriage equality, opponents protest ruling. Scroll down, Jared. There we are. There we are. Anti-LGBT activists. You can see all the homos around us. According to Right Wing Watch, a handful of opponents gathered to protest the ruling. Yeah, maybe did. A handful of us did. A handful of us did. And a handful of us aren't giving up. We're not giving up. So I want you to notice, guys, you haven't seen this on Fox News, but the left is aware of us, aren't they? Hey, David, do you think they're laughing at us? They're poking fun at us, David. Do you think they're laughing?
They're laughing in public, Coach, but guess what? When they're at home, they're so upset, frustrated, they're screaming and crying because they know that they're losing and people are waking up.
They ain't laughing, brother. They're laughing. It's that laughter you get when you're scared, that little chuckle you get when you're scared. In fact, I read a psychologist said when you talk to somebody and they give you that little giggle, you never met somebody, that's like a dog growling. It's nervousness. A dog growls when he's nervous. So when you're around people and you're uncomfortable, you'll hear them do that. And it's a form of growling. So listen, they're growling. They're growling. They're nervous. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're going to win. I'm either going to win. Excuse me. Victor, I'll get that silver in a minute. I didn't bring it down. I'm either going to win or the Lord's going to take me home. I'm going to win here. You missed that. Hey, Dale, I'm going to win here. Larry, I'm going to win here. Hey, Ron, I'm going to win here. George, I'm going to win here. I'm sorry. Why do they think we're a cult? Because I'm not of the mindset that we're going to lose. And so if you think we're going to win, then you got to be crazy. And anybody who would be part of somebody who thinks you're going to win, you got to be crazy. They're a cult.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother, I love it. I use it all the time. You know, we have prayer every Wednesday night at our church, but it is prayer in the air and boots on the ground. And General Patton said, wars are fought with guns and bullets, but wars are won by men.
Amen. But wars are won by men. So I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Hey, Jared, click on what is it here? Yeah, open your eyes. Barna survey. Love George Barna. Excuse me. George Barna pulls up our skirt and he makes us look at ourselves. So here's his latest. Surprising issues are driving voters' decisions. Hey, so all the political advertising that we're seeing done. Hey, George, I hope you're listening, George. George Barna went out and did some surveys, and he wanted to find out. Remember, George Barna, for the most part, surveys Christians. So he said, let's go and see what are the issues that are really driving Christians. What are those issues? And so Dan Fisher puts all of his eggs in a basket of abortion, and Christians don't care about it. I'll show you here in a minute. It's one of the least important issues to Christians. Abortion. Is that crazy? Now, instead of reading down through all this, four issues everyone cares about. There you are, it is, Jared, up on the screen. Some issues get everyone, regardless of their political ideology, heated up. The survey identified four such issues that have a dramatic impact on voters' choices in November. And seven of the 10 likely voters considered government performance. Here they are. Government performance, gun rights, and Donald Trump to be the major influence on their votes. That's what people are voting on. Gun rights, government performance, and Donald Trump. With crime and violence, the fourth major consideration that will affect large numbers of people, regardless of their ideology. The elephant in the room, of course, will be Donald Trump. His policies, tweets, personal life, and anything else the media emphasizes about him. The president is considered a critical influence on the voting choices of two-thirds of November's likely voters. Do you understand why they're attacking Donald Trump? See, the left knows what we don't know. They know that people The number one thing that's keeping Donald Trump from really draining the swamp is people are ambivalent about it. Some don't like him. Christians still don't like him, right? Conservatives and liberals are more likely than moderates. Conservatives and liberals are more likely than moderates to consider the Trump legacy in a decision-making. And if Mr. Trump looms as a well above average consideration, even in the thinking of moderates. Do you understand what he's saying? Conservatives who have values and liberals who don't have values both hate Trump. They both hate Trump. And as a result, conservatives who they think have values, I'm a conservative and I have values. Conservatives who have values don't want to vote for Trump. This is so revealing. The survey revealed that while opinions of Mr. Trump have improved substantially since his inauguration, and think about that, how they've done everything to destroy your opinion of him. Currently, 43% of adults have a favorable opinion, but 51% still don't like him. Look at this. Conservatives and liberals are mirror images and the views of them. Conservatives have a 77% favorable and 20% unfavorable. And the lefties have 75% unfavorable. And moderates lean more toward the negatives, 35% unfavorable, 56% unfavorable. In the November swing state, the president's rating is closer to even, 45 favorable, 49 unfavorable. But gun policy is another crucial issue. While it's most compelling to liberals, 71% say it will have a lot of influence on their votes. The issue also matters greatly both to conservatives, 63%, and moderates. Gun issue. Would you think that guns are that important? Why aren't we pushing guns harder? It's important to voters. The quality of poor performance of government's a big deal to both sides. Liberals, 64%, don't like the way government's doing it. But the Republicans, just the same. Scrolling down, Jared. Now, I want to here we go. This is what I want you to see. Here they are, folks. These are the issues on what they're basing their decisions on in November. In the order. Look at it. Look. All adults. What's important to gay rights? Only 20%. But even slide of gay rights is at the bottom. You can see it on your screen. But to conservatives, only 9% of conservatives care about gay rights. Isn't that something? It's not an issue to them. Gender equality, same thing. Hey, George, look there. Abortion. It's only important to 30%. Abortion is only important to 42% of Christians. Conservatives, they don't really care. They don't really care. And even go over to notional or other. I'm not meaning born Christians, but not really Christians. Only 30% even care. So if we want to get Donald Trump elected, then we ought to be working on guns, tax, quality of government, and defending Donald Trump. Right there it is for us. Can we see this? And what do we focus on? See, I go out on the streets and I fight these rights, gay rights, gender equality, abortion. I fight that stuff. But that's not first and foremost in what's going to get people elected. I'll shut up a minute. Comment.
So, Coach, so the majority of Christians really don't love the things that God loves and hates the things he hates. It's really what they want. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes.
If you look, George, religious liberty, I'm looking at the chart right now, I'm pointing at it on my screen. The bottom five, gay rights, marijuana legalization, gender equality, abortion, and religious liberty. Those are the bottom five. People don't care.
Because the top ones, brother, strictly deal with them individually, self-preservation. The bottom ones have to deal with our neighbor.
Amen.
Oh, Joy, that's a really good day. Boy, there's a mic drop if there ever was one. Huh? That's a mic drop. And look at how they're trying to stir everything up over immigration. Immigration's only sixth. One, two, three, four, fifth on the list. It's above employment and jobs. Do you guys see this? Do you see what's going on? So Trump ought to be riding hard on the gun rights. He ought to be rolling back the taxes, the quality of government, get government out of our lives. See, the liberals want more government. Conservatives want less government. That's what they're voting on. That's what You watch. He's going to change his message, and he's going to zero in on those things. Look where environment is. Look where court nominations are. See, all the stuff that anyway, this is really eye-opening.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Got an interesting observation, Stephen here. In this, hey, Steve. when you look at abortion, 42% of conservatives say it's going to have a lot of influence. Only 30% of nominal Christians say that. So what does that tell you?
What is that? That tells you that Dan Fisher is not going to get elected running on an abortion platform.
People and the interesting care. Thing about that statistic is that that is going to include all of the overlap, the people who say who are conservative Christians. And so the Christians out there who don't call themselves conservative are essentially totally off the reservation when it comes to abortion.
Amen, Stephen. Yet, there's one abortion clinic left in the city of Columbus. And why is there one abortion clinic left in the city of Columbus? Didn't have anything to do with legislation. It had with faithful men and women of God going out there standing every day, holding signs, appealing to the lives of the unborn, and keeping pressure on the unfruitful works of darkness. There's a great lesson here. There's a great lesson.
Hey, Steve and Coach, you know, and in that 30%, like you just said, Coach, it's only the few that'll actually do. A lot of people will say, we love you, Lord, but they do nothing. They have no actions behind their words. They say that they're Christian, they go to church, but they do nothing. And so when you even look at that 30%, it's only a handful of the 30% who will actually engage society.
Right. If we're talking about something like that, it might be 1 out of 100 who would actually do something apart from vote, if this is even a fair representation. Like, this could be what people say as opposed to what they do.
Would it be fair to blame the pastors because of those 30%?
Well, yeah, that's part of the problem. But the other problem is the scripture is clear, sir. It just says a study to show yourself approved unto God. There's part of this is that we're responsible ourselves. Those people sitting in those church pews, they're also responsible. Yes, they're stumbling blocks through their pastors, but these guys need to pick up their own Bible, and they're going to give an account to God themselves also.
Yeah.
Right. We have to get the sin out of our lives, because otherwise, if we're pointing fingers around it, it comes back at us, and it just doesn't, quote unquote, feel right. And so if we're not walking in a righteous way, if we're not appropriating the righteousness of Christ and seeking after the holiness of God, then we're not going to have any ground to stand on. And so people just aren't in that position at the moment, unfortunately.
The church is supposed to be the counterbalance to the media and all that stuff. Sundays in church, folks, we ought to be talking about social issues, moral issues. Our pastors have an obligation to stand in the pulpit and explain to the sheep why what they're seeing on TV is wrong. And we don't take these issues on. We don't even take them on. Jared, pull up on the screen. I think there's one more thing I want people to see here. It says SCOTUS Divide. SCOTUS Divide. Pull that up. Hey, guys, don't you love facts? Don't you love facts and information? See, we can win. Cold or not, we can win. SCOTUS narrowly upholds Constitution. This was written by the Patriot Post, I think is the name of this. Patriot Post US. Constitution prevails 5-4. Rule of man or rule of law. There it is. This is very, let's read down to this. This is really, really good. Scroll down, Jared. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court handed down two significant rulings that both upheld clear, constitutionally and statutorily defined powers and rights. On Wednesday, it issues a ruling on a First Amendment case. However, the disturbing fact was that all three decisions were determined by the narrowest of margins, the 5-4 split. This demonstrates just how fundamentally divided the whole court is in this land when it comes to reviewing law and the Constitution and how important election results can be. In Trump versus Hawaii, the court upheld President Donald Trump's statutory authority. Now, folks, stop a minute. That's all the court is supposed to determine. Does Trump have the right to rule on the travel ban? Does the court is supposed to look at the travel ban and say, does he have the right to do it? They're not to look at the travel ban and decide whether it's mean or unfair. That's not what they're supposed to do. Does he have the right to do it? And very clearly, the Constitution gives him the right to do it. It should be 9-0. You understand this? the 5-4 on how unfair it is and targeting people. That's not, no. Does he have the right to do it? The people elected him president of the United States, does he have the right to enforce that statute? That's all that was about. This is explicitly delineated authority. It's crazy, it's even in question. And then it rose all the way to the Supreme Court and forces and speaks volumes to the state of the nation's judiciary. It was obvious that Trump had statutory authority irrespective of the merits of his decision. But judicial despots at every level insist that they can divine Trump's supposedly racist and anti-Muslim intent on the basis of what the law actually says. Likewise, in the NIFLA versus Becerra, the court ruled in favor of free speech and against some compelled speech. It's very simple. Can the government tell you what you have to say? That's it. That's the question. Can the government tell a business what they have to say? If we're looking at the law, the answer is simple. No. But if you take the law and let a bunch of lawyers get in there and create exceptions, see, that's what the court's been doing. This question was, can the government force a private company to do something against its will? And the answer is no. Why wasn't it 9-0?
Right.
That's how confused we are in this country. Because truth has become an opinion. And the third case likewise involves compelled speech. That a public employee, that I as a public school teacher, have to give my money to the union. I have to be a member of the union as a right to work. I can't work unless I'm a member of the union. I got to give them my money to give the Democrats. This is very simple. Do you as an employee have freedom of association and freedom of speech? Yes or no? This is not opinions. What does the law say? What does the First Amendment say? Congress shall make no law regarding establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor abridging the freedom of speech. Dot. Finished. So, I mean, that's just crazy. So now they say, well, it's a big boost for labor. It's a big boost. Well, who cares who it's a big boost for? It's the stinking law. We're a lawless country. We've become lawless. Oh, I could go on. I'm about out of time, and somebody held your breath. Come on in here. Let me finish that.
I want to piggyback on what Dale said a while ago. You know, I'm not going to read any scripture or tell you what it says to me. I'm simply going to ask you to read Matthew. You know, after the show, everybody read Matthew chapter 25, 13 verses 34 through 46. And I will say this, if you're talking the walk, but not walking the talk, woe be unto you.
Matthew what, Larry?
25, 34 through 46.
Okay, somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach, what you're saying and what we're called to do, which is to resist federal tyranny. Look at the enemy now doing it. Look what's happened in Oregon, where they literally surrounded the ICE offices and refusing even what the SCOTUS just handed down about Trump's authority on immigration. Brother, the enemy's using the tactic we were supposed to use already. Resist the federal beast.
Amen, brother. And they're resisting because they understand. See, and we don't. Somebody else, come on in. Was it Glenn? I heard Glenn.
Hey, we got movie Boundaries that's coming out, right? With Peter Fonda, the admitted adrenochrome freak.
Come on in, George.
Real quick, just so we don't get lulled to sleep on this abortion issue, we're all rejoicing that these abortion clinics are shutting down. But I've got a good friend that does street ministry, and he comes to the abortion clinic named Alan, and he ministered overseas in Spain. And what they're doing, and he said, there's guys on, quote, our side that are vilifying these dirty, unclean, unsafe abortion clinics, Coach. And like overseas, they do a lot of these abortions in hospitals. So their goal is to get them in hospitals where it'll be a lot harder to shut a hospital down than it will a abortion clinic. So, guys, we still need to fight. We still need to get more people out there. Because the enemy does not sleep. They're very strategic.
They never, ever They never take no as victory. They never take no as a loss. And we always take no as a loss and stop and fight. Boys, now it's time to pop the clutch and press forward. My, oh, my. The pump is primed. The metal is hot. Let's swing the sword of the spirit. Bless you. See you tomorrow.